today we're talking about shining lights that shake the world. We've been going through a series of messages about shaking the world and shaking the world how? Shaking the world by bringing Jesus to people is what we're talking about. We've been talking an awful lot about, well, last year we talked an awful lot about how we needed to get our financial matters in order to guarantee the longevity of the church. And this year has to be the year we start thinking about planting new seed. We need to start thinking about sharing Jesus with people and bringing the people in so that our church continues and continues and continues. Because that's really what the Lord wants for us. He even told us that. Jesus said the fields, as you already heard, fields are white with harvest. And we've got to be serious about making a difference for Christ. And if we want our church to succeed and continue, we've got to get serious about that. Amen? So today actually is the last message in that series. So what you're going to hear today is important. And before we go any further, I want to tell you a story about a cobbler. Who knows what a cobbler is? And don't say it's a dessert. What's a cobbler? A shoemaker or a shoe repairman. How many of you go to this Marcone fella down on Robinson Street? I go to Marcone. He does a nice job with shoes down here on Robinson Street, just up from where the kids are going to be making their new home. And one day there was a cobbler who had a desire to be a missionary, but he didn't know how to go to foreign lands. And so what he did was he used his cobbler shop as his mission. And when people would come in to have their shoes repaired, he would tell them all about Jesus. And so he would share Jesus with people. And one day a friend of his who was a businessman came in and said, you know, all this talk about Jesus is ruining your business. There's people that don't want to come to have you fix their shoes because they don't want to hear about Jesus. If you want to increase your business, stop talking so much about Jesus. So the cobbler responded and said, what do you mean my business? My business is suffering because I'm telling people about Jesus? My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only fix shoes to pay for the ability to tell people about Jesus. He had the proper set of priorities, didn't he? I cobble shoes to meet expenses so I can tell people about Jesus. Well, whether you are a cobbler or whether you work at Walmart or whether you are the President of the United States, it doesn't matter what you do. You don't have to do great things or be a big famous person to tell people about Jesus. You can be an 11-year-old kid or younger. It doesn't matter who you are. All you need to do is to keep doing whatever the Lord has put your hand to do, like this shoemaker, in order to bring Jesus to people. Some time ago, we started a program here called Outflow, and the slogan behind Outflow is small things done with great love will change the world. We believe that. We honestly believe it's true. It doesn't take great evangelistic efforts on the part of people like you and me in order to change the world. How many of you believe you could preach like Billy Graham? Well, because we don't have that calling, we have to be busy about doing the things that the Lord has put our hands to doing. Make sense? And if you do that with great love for Jesus, you're going to change the world. I want to start off this morning with a parable that Jesus told from over in Luke chapter 8. So if you would, please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16. Luke 8, starting at verse 16 says, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Point number one of the message this morning is that we are to be like a lamp on a stand. What does a lamp on a stand do? Shares light. that spreads light. And it's time for the people of God to come out from underneath the basket and shine. You hear what I'm saying? It's time for the people of God to come out from underneath the basket and shine. Okay, that's my whole sermon. Thank you. Have a good day. It's time. It's time for the people of God to let their light shine. Several reasons why. Number one, we're called to be the light of the world. Just as a lighthouse is used, okay, to send its beams of light out to guide ships to where they need to be and stay away from places where they shouldn't be, so are we. We are to be a light that steers people in the right direction and steers them away from the wrong things. Even the book of Ephesians says that we are to expose the workings of evil. We're supposed to expose that. How can we do that unless we're the light? Well, you might be thinking, wait a minute. The title of the message is Shining Lights to Shake the World. Now we're talking about light. Why all of this emphasis on light? Well, very simply, light has always held significance when referring to things of spiritual life. Because there's spiritual light and there's spiritual dark. For instance, did you know that the first thing God created, after God created the heavens and the earth, was what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the first thing He created after that was what? Light. He set the sun to be the light of the day and the moon to be the light of night. Light. Why did God make light first? And He said it. Let there be light. Genesis 1:3. Light is often used as a symbol of goodness. Jesus Himself said, I am the light of the world. Okay? The light of the world. He is a light that shines in the darkness. In the New Testament, light is used to point to Christ on a consistent basis. Christ is referred to, yes, as the light of the world in John chapter 8. But the Bible also tells us that anybody who follows after the light will not walk in darkness. So let me ask you this question. Do you think it's therefore up to us to point people to the light so that they don't walk in darkness anymore? Or do you not understand the fact that anybody that doesn't have Jesus is walking in the dark? They're walking in darkness. Spiritual darkness. And as long as they walk in spiritual darkness, they're lost. And they need the light. Jesus said in John chapter 12, the light is with you for a little longer. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of the light. How many of you can say, I have received salvation through Jesus? Do you know why you did that? Because the light shined on you and you followed the light. You followed the light and you came to Christ. You're no longer walking in spiritual darkness. You are therefore a reflector of the light of Christ. Have you ever wondered why non-Christians don't like you? Have you ever wondered why? It goes something like this. If you don't understand why, here's your homework assignment for tonight. When it gets nice and dark out, go into a small room and turn off the lights. And tell me what you see. Nothing. And then, after your eyes kind of adjust to it, flick on the light switch. What happens when you flick on a light switch in a dark room? Oh man, somebody... Where's the sunglasses? What happens? It hurts. You can walk into a room full of spiritually dark people and it hurts. It hurts their eyes. Because you have the light of Christ. There are people that won't like you because you bear that light and they prefer to be in the dark. I have that on good authority. All you have to do is read the Gospel of John chapter 1. We're called to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John. We're to be children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Philippians chapter 2. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. How many of you are saying, I feel light already? The second point I want to bring across to you this morning is that we're continually waging a battle with the forces of darkness. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Because we're continually waging battle with the forces of darkness, the only way that we can win the battle is through Christ. Jesus is our victory. He's not only our means of victory, Jesus is our victory. The world is a dark, fallen place. Our nation's leaders fail us. Our friends sometimes fail us. Even the people that we look up to as spiritual leaders may fail us. And you're going to find people everywhere failing you. Why? Because they're weak. The only one who will never fail you is Jesus. And that's why people need to know Him. Because He won't fail them. Our nation's leaders fail us. We read the newspapers and we find these little babies unborn whose lives are being snuffed out for the sake of contraception and convenience. And to tell you what, I read things like that, it makes my blood boil. We read about how our nation desires perversion instead of the personal Savior, Jesus. Supreme Court right now hearing arguments about making certain things legal that never should be. Godlessness seems to prevail in the world that we live. And it seems where every place we turn, there's godlessness prevailing. And let me tell you something, folks. All it takes for godlessness to prevail in the world is for the people who have Christ to stand by and do nothing. And as long as we, the bearers of the light, stand by and we keep our light hidden under a basket, the darkness will prevail. We must take the light with us. Even though we are waging a war against the spiritual forces of darkness, godlessness seems to be everywhere. Or would you not agree? If you don't agree, come out of your rabbit hole, folks. Because there's darkness everywhere. We must never, ever lose the reflective light that is ours in Christ. You can reflect Jesus. That is our calling, but it's also our joy and our privilege. Guess what? You don't need to be like everybody else. You can be different. You can stand out like a lamp on a stand in a dark house. You flick on the light, what happens? It sheds light everywhere. You can do that. How? How do we do that? How can we become the light for the world to see Jesus? Well, there's five ways to be the light in a lost and dying world, and I hope you're paying attention, and I hope you're taking notes. If you're not, well, we're going to go through these pretty quickly. The acrostic is L-I-G-H-T. Okay? The letter L stands for love your neighbor as yourself. When some people try to trap Jesus, you know, in one of the theological arguments, they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, why don't you tell us which of the commandments are the greatest? And what did Jesus say? That's pretty easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and all the people you like just like yourself. Right? All the people that look like you and act like you, love them just like you love yourself. Right? Is that what he said? Am I misquoting Scripture? What did he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? And Jesus goes on to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan was somebody who wasn't like the Jews. As a matter of fact, that Samaritan was somebody that the Jews hated and somebody who hated the Jews. And Jesus knew who he was speaking to when he told this parable, because he knew that he was speaking to a crowd of what? Jews. We are to show the love of Jesus even to the types of people that might otherwise offend us. That means sharing Jesus to people of other nationalities. Sharing Jesus with people that might do things that offend us, like drug abusers and prostitutes. It might even mean sharing the love of Christ with people who have homosexuality. things like that, things that make us go, oh, you mean we need to go share Jesus with people like that? Yes. We are to share the light of Christ with everybody who walks in darkness, folks. You hear what I'm trying to say? Oh, boy. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? Who needs Jesus, folks? Do you know somebody that needs Christ? What if they're not like you? What if they take drugs? What if they have tattoos and piercings? Okay, that's where we draw the line. We were okay with it until you came to that point. When Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, there wasn't just a command. It was the command. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's part B of the greatest commandment. So what does that mean? Well, it means next to loving the Lord your God with everything you've got, we need to love our neighbors. And who's our neighbor? Everybody. Talking to somebody the other day, they said, you know, we've been talking to somebody about the Lord and stuff like that, and they're going to start attending church, but not ours. Well, that's okay, right? Is that okay? If we build the kingdom of God, even if it's not represented right here in this building, well, that's what we should be about. Kingdom building. Sharing Christ, bringing people to the truth, shedding light of Christ, and then letting God lead them where He needs to lead them. One of my favorite parables that Jesus told concerning this whole thing is found in Luke chapter 10. And I want you to read that all for yourself. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. If you've never read the story of the Good Samaritan, it's Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 38. Read it. I is for imitate Christ. L is love your neighbor as yourself. I is imitate Christ. John, 3 John 11 says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. The Greek word for imitate, when it says here to imitate, actually means to duplicate. Our lives should be so much like Jesus that people can see Jesus in us. Our lives should be duplicates of Christ. Now think about that, if you would. In what ways are our lives not like His? Well, this is what we have to come in contact with. We have to come in contact with the idea that there is stuff in our lives that is not Christ-like, and we need to confess that, because if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're to be imitators of Christ in our life. You and I are Christ's representatives wherever we are. When Bob goes and sells granite, people should see what Jesus would be like if He was selling granite. Okay? When Brian does his job washing out tankers, people should be able to see what Jesus would be like if He was washing out tankers. And you know, Brian does like 17 other jobs as well. They should be able to see what Jesus would be like doing all that stuff. How would Jesus take Herbalife? That's an advertisement for Herbalife, Brian. Free advertising. Whatever you're doing, let Christ shine through you. Everything you do, do it as though you're doing it for Him. If they can't see Christ shining through us, they'll never find Him. So let Him shine through you. And all God's people said, I can do that. No, don't say amen yet. Say, I can do that. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I is for imitate Christ. G, get to know others. I worked really hard making this work, okay, folks? I know I had to kind of borrow here. The letter G is get to know others. How many of you know nothing but Christians or hang out with nothing but Christians? I am here to challenge you today to build redemptive relationships and redemptive friendships with those who are not. You hear what I just said? There are some people that live in rabbit holes. They don't realize there's nothing out there but other Christians. I'm here to tell you that 9 out of 10 of people that you meet aren't. Build a redemptive relationship with one of them. Get to know them. Get to know the needs in their life. And then show them how Jesus has met those needs in yours. Proverbs 18:24. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Be a shining light to the unsaved. You hear what I just said? Be a shining light to the unsaved. What does that require? Getting yourself in the presence of the unsaved. Why do you think I bowl on Wednesdays? I'm just subbing the summer. I'm not bowling every Wednesday. But why do you think I was doing that? Not just because I like it, but because people need to see what a Jesus person is like doing normal stuff. It's amazing what happens, though. Be bowling in some people you don't know, and somebody with a big mouth comes and calls you Pastor Jay, and they say, oh, you're a minister. All of a sudden, their whole line of conversation changes. Their vocabulary changes, their line of conversation changes, they get uncomfortable, they don't know what to do with their hands, they're shuffling their feet. Oh, no. Here comes Mr. Buzzkill. The letter H is for hospitality. Did you know that in Bible times, hospitality wasn't just something that God hoped His people would do? It was actually a law. That if there is somebody that's not from your country that comes in, you should invite them into your house. Did you know that? That's because she's from another country. Strangers were to be treated as guests, and the homeowner was expected to not only house them, but feed them and protect them. Hospitality. How many of you totally are blown away by the idea of inviting people into your home that you don't really know and feeding them and protecting them? It's not just a suggestion. It's something the Lord says do. And think about this. How many of you think that hospitality means you've got to have lots of food? I want you to know something, folks. I want to take the burden right off your shoulders. I want you to remember this. Hospitality is not a full table. It's an open door. Hear what I just said? Hospitality is not a full table. It's an open door. Oh, but Pastor Jay, I can't let anybody in my house. It's a mess. Yeah, well, guess what? So's theirs. They're probably coming from a messy house. So they'll feel right at home. You see, we have the excuse of, well, we can't do it because there may be people who are allergic to cats. Well, we're going to mount a Benadryl dispenser at our door so people can come in and just pop a couple of Benadryl, which has the added benefit of making them fall asleep and they don't have to entertain them. Romans 12:13 says, get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. That is a paraphrase. Romans 12:13. Get in the habit of showing hospitality to the lost. Okay? First Peter 4:9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Hebrews 13:2. Don't forget how to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels and not been aware of it. Hospitality is its own blessing. T. What's T stand for? Now you can read it, right? Tell others. Tell others about Jesus. Back years ago when I was early on in my Christian years, we had a thing called TEAM. Okay? We had a team ministry. TEAM stood for Tell Everyone About Me. Well, we're not going to go that far. We're just going to say that T is for telling others about Jesus. How many of you had somebody tell you about Jesus and you accepted Jesus and that's why you're here today? How many of you had somebody invite you to church and you found Christ in church somewhere and that's why you're attending church today. Imagine what your life would be like if nobody had done that. Imagine what your life would be like if your parents or a loved one or a friend had never shared Jesus with you or brought you to church. What would your life be like today if you didn't know Jesus? Thank God for the person that did. Because your life would be drastically different if nobody had. We're always to be ready to tell the story of how we met Jesus. As a matter of fact, we talked about this in my Christianity 101 class today. Be ready to give an answer for your faith to everyone who asks. Always be ready to give an answer for your faith. Luke 12:8 says, if we acknowledge God on earth, He will acknowledge us in heaven. T is for telling others about Jesus. L-I-G-H-T. And that's what we are to be about. And how do we tell people about Jesus? Well, guess what? That's where the blank sheet of paper comes in. Ladies and gentlemen, this blank sheet of paper is the most important piece of paper you will ever handle. You hear what I just said? Because on this piece of paper, you are going to write something down. I'm going to give you a whole week to do it. 168 hours. Minus 56 so that you can get some sleep. Okay? 112 hours. Minus 40 hours for work, which is 72 hours. On this blank sheet of paper, you are going to write the following numbers at the top of the paper. 30/30/40. Oh, it's even up there to make it easy for you. The 30-30-40 principle. What is the 30-30-40 principle? The 30-30-40 principle goes like this. I am going to tell you what my life is like now that I've known Jesus. And in order to do this, I'm going to take 30% of one side of a sheet of paper and tell you about what my life was like before I knew Christ. The second 30% is going to contain how I met Christ. And the 40%, the major part, is what my life is like now that I have found Christ. Now, I'm going to give you permission to cheat a little. And you can do 25, 25, 50 if you want. Okay? You can do 25, 35, 40. The whole idea is you're going to talk about what your life was like before you knew Jesus and keep that to a proportional minimum. You're going to talk about how you came to know Christ and keep that at a proportional minimum. And the major part of what you're going to put on this piece of paper is what your life is like now that you have come to know Christ. Why are we putting it on one side of a sheet of paper? Let me ask you this. If I was to ask any of you for your personal testimony, how many of you could tell it to me in less than 5 minutes? Anybody? Kevin could. I know you, Kevin. You might be able to do that. You have to be able to do it in 3 to 5 minutes. When a Jehovah's Witness comes and knocks on your door, bang, 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 and you answer the door, they're going to give you a 3 to 5 minute speech that they have written, that they have rehearsed in front of their family. They have then been given permission to go and rehearse it in front of the elders of their kingdom hall. And after their 3 to 5 minute speech is approved by the elders of the kingdom hall, they then come and knock on your door and they share that speech with you. Why do they do it in 3 to 5 minutes? Because the Jehovah's Witnesses have picked up on something we haven't caught on to yet. You know what it is? Be clear, be concise, state your case. You know, we like to talk and talk and talk. I would imagine that a lot of you, if we were asked you to give your testimony, might be able to run on for 40 minutes. You know, you can run on as long as Pastor Jay does. But we don't want that. We want you to be able to give your testimony in 3 to 5 minutes. That's why you are going to write your testimony on one side of one sheet of paper. 30, 30, 40, 25, 25, 50. The big thing is this. If you can share with Jesus what your life is like now, or you can share with your friends and neighbors what your life was like now if you know Jesus, you're going to make a huge impact on their life, because there's a bunch of people out there that don't have peace with God. And you're going to learn how to share that with people. Okay? So is everybody clear on what I want you to do on one side of a sheet of paper? Everybody clear on that? How many of you are saying right now, I ain't doing this? Please do it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is up to us to take the light of Jesus into a very, very dark community. And it's getting darker. And the reason why it's getting darker is because the people who have the light have hidden it under a basket, and they're not letting the light shine. That has to be us. There isn't another church in the area that is mobilizing a group of people to go out and share their faith. So guess who's got to do it? We're it. You hear me? Now, here's the best part. If you do your homework, I'm not preaching next Sunday. You know why? Because you're doing it. You remember a few weeks ago when my sweet little daughter over here, not so little daughter, fell and broke her arm, and you guys were forced to do a worship service sharing testimonies? I heard from several people that they had the best time in church that Sunday that they've had in a long time. Well, guess what? You get to do it again next Sunday. Because you're going to share your testimonies. And you're going to share them with us. And no, we're not going to grade you and give you permission to share it. But it's going to be a Sunday of praising God, with a bunch of people sharing how they came to know Christ and what their life is like now that they know Jesus. It's going to be a time where we are lifting each other up in the means of Hebrews chapter 10. Don't forsake the gathering together with the brethren, which is the habit of some, but instead join together for the purpose of encouraging each other, and that's what we're going to do. What do you think? How many of you will say, Pastor, I'm doing the homework? Okay, what's wrong with the rest of you? Do it. Write it down. That way you can memorize it and you can share it with people, and you will shake the world. Do you believe me? How do you think I'm talking about blowing hot air here? Years ago, when I was about her age, there was a fellow that came to share Jesus with me by the name of Don Stansfield. Don Stansfield came and shared Jesus with me from a little red pocket Bible. And he came and he shared Jesus with me every week for over 9 months. And time again, he would tell me about what Jesus had done for him in his life. And if it wasn't for Don Stansfield, I would not be here. Perhaps some of you right now are wishing that you could kick Don Stansfield in the shins. But if it wasn't for him, folks, I can tell you, I might never have come to Christ. His testimony was this: God loves you. This is what he's done for me. And because of him, I love you. Do you think you can do that? Can you? Then come with your one side of sheet of paper next Sunday. And if you don't do the homework, don't stay home. Please, come anyway, so you can hear others. Can we do this? Will you do this? Because if you do, you get to go Sunday without hearing me. Man, praise God for whom all blessings flow. All right, everybody got that? And folks, we're going to have another assignment after next Sunday. You know what that is? Share with somebody who's not here. We're to share that testimony with somebody who needs to hear it. Amen? Is that what we're all about? Or are we about taking our lamp and sticking it under that basket? No more. We can't. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the light of the world who is Jesus. Lord, thank you that You have given us this mission of going out into the world and making a difference for Jesus. Now, dear God, help us to do it. Lord, give us the words to say. Father, give us the opportunities to share. And Lord, He promised that if you do that, we will be reflectors of the light. And together, dear God, we can shake the world, starting with Bangor, Pennsylvania. And it's in the glorious name of our Savior Jesus we pray. Amen.